Most experts believe that both farming and domesticated animals were probably introduced from the West, from somewhere around Mesopotamia, at an unknown date. Why? Simply because there were trade routes, exchange networks, extending far to the north into Baluchistan and Afghanistan, and to the west to the Iranian plateau, even before farming began. But here, as elsewhere, farming took hold and was very successful. Within 2,000 years, dozens of village farming communities flourished throughout the Indus Plain, which was a good place for agriculture once you had adapted to the very hot summers and the irregular floods of the Indus. Like the Nile, the summer floods of the Indus fertilized the soil, and the soil could be easily cultivated with extensive irrigation canals and floodworks. People lived in settlements built above the highest flood level. We'll return to the issue of the Indus floods a little later on. Now, many of these larger villages actually had planned streets and were fortified. Now, whether these fortifications were against flood or against raiding neighbors is something we don't know. But we do know that between about 3000 and 1500 BC, the natural tree and grass cover on the Indus Plain changed radically. The native vegetation vanished in the face of expanding agriculture, goat herding, and wholesale wood burning for charcoal and for the baking of bricks. Much of this natural plain was denuded of its natural vegetation, with disastrous consequences for erosion control. One of the great untold stories of human prehistory is the insatiable demand by humans for firewood. Firewood you always need for warmth, for cooking, and so on, ever since the invention of fire. And with permanent village settlement and then city settlement, clearly the woods and forests around these settlements are going to be cleared very rapidly. So there was this constant demand for firewood, which often had to be carried in from considerable distances. And of course charcoal, which makes good fuel and is certainly useful in furnaces for smelting metals, added to the demand. And in this area, like in Mesopotamia, like in Southwest Asia, there were major changes to the environment which were not necessarily beneficial. For example, the floods of the Indus had always been unpredictable and sometimes were very violent. Now there was little vegetation to check the waters in years when the floods were higher than usual. So the people who lived in the villages and towns on this floodplain had to respond with sophisticated floodworks and extensive irrigation canals. At the same time, human populations, thanks to farming, were rising fairly rapidly, not only along the banks of the Indus River, but along the shores of another major waterway, the nearby Saraswati River, which is now dry. Now, this was not an easy environment. Compared with the Nile, it was exceptionally demanding. Long, hot summers, uncontrollable floods, high population densities, erosion resulting from flood. The problems went on and on. And we believe that this sort of environment required intense cooperation between the people living in different households and different communities to maintain flood and irrigation works. And it seems that over the centuries, kin leaders, local chieftains, village headmen, and priests played a leading role in efforts to irrigate the soil, control flooding, and generally make life more effective, more livable, and food production effective to feed a growing population. And out of this big matrix of different factors, sometime during the early 3rd millennium BC, there was a period of explosive growth on the Indus plain. The villages became towns, and the towns became cities.